You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Can't wait for those Vatican City Connects. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. Yes, my dear friends, the Pope is a White Sox fan. The Pope! We're Jewish, so religiously, this means nothing to us. But in terms of the baseball, which I guess is our real religion, it means a great, great deal.
Chicago, we love you, baby. Come on.
This is just a great story, and I can't believe that this is how it worked. And I'm so happy for White Sox fans because the Cubs didn't need the Cubs playing
correct.
Great. What do they need the Pope for right now? Come on.
The Cubs fans don't need PCA and the Pope. They don't need Pope and Pope Crow Armstrong. They are a fan base in relative wealth, whereas the White Sox are what you would call a poverty franchise. And what is the Pope supposed to do if not take care of the poor?
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It's true. The downtrodden, the poor, the miserable, the abjectly sad White Sox fans at least have the Pope. And you know what? They're feeling it. I can report, as we welcome in Jordan Schusterman to the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline, download the Circa app today. Jordan, part of the collective, the two-person collective, I think it's still a two-person collective, over at Cespedes Barbecue and the Baseball Barbiecast, which is a wonderful pod over there from Yahoo, and you can find Jordan's writing over there, too. You know, Sox fans are pumped, man. They've got the Pope. And, you know, there was some Pope-related trash talk happening at Wrigley over the last couple days. Some Cub fan had the audacity to wear a full papal outfit with a Cubs-branded miter, which is the hat. And that was shouted at. And they don't deserve to wear that. Only Sox fans deserve to wear that.
I totally agree. And I think these first two games of the series should be enough proof, really backing up kind of what we were getting at, right? Like, you have better baseball players. That should be enough for you. And I think whether it's PCA, whether it's, you know, there's a lot of good talent in this lineup. I don't know. I'm sure it's been busy times for Pope Leo XIV. I'm sure he has there's a lot going on right now. But I do like to think at some point over the last couple of days, he at least asked one of his Cardinal colleagues and was like, "What's the score? What's the score? How's my guy Tim Elko? Oh, Tim Elko's got a home run. Oh, okay, here we go." And he's thinking, you know, later this season, when some of these White Sox players have kind of settled in more to the major leagues, they will get their revenge on the South Side.
I love this image. Like, Elvis had a guy in his posse called Hamburger Tom, and his job was to – he had the keys to the plane, and when Elvis wanted a hamburger – Tom literally got in the plane and flew to the hamburger place. And Elvis, like, you're intimating that the Pope has a guy who's on the MLB at Bat app following along with the games to give him updates. I love this image.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure Well, we've had these day games, which is great, right? Because, you know, I imagine he's spending most of his time in Vatican City. The time difference could be a little bit difficult there. So the Friday games are great. I don't know. It's looking like, just looking at the schedule, you know, the Cubs go to the White Sox at the end of July. That's also a weekend series, but it looks like that first game is 7:40 first pitch, or at least Eastern. So I don't know. That is Popplio staying up for that one? It's going to depend on kind of how the White Sox are looking at that point.
I think the 2 days after the Pope was, you know, the name came out and we understood, those might have been my two favorite days in my history of being in the media in Chicago. It's been an endless trove of memes and such, and I just can't get enough of the White Sox stuff. Because this Pope knows who Ron Carcavice was, you know? And as far as I know, no other Pope has ever been aware of Ron Carcavice. And that's meaningful to me.
Yeah. Well, and the way I phrased it is like, again, you know, we're all waiting. People, of course, this means a lot more to some more than others, depending on your, you know, religious preference. But if they had just, I said this on the pod, if they had just picked some guy from Italy, we all would have just gone about our day.
Right.
Well, or for the most part, certainly is not changing Chicago sports radio schedules, right?
No,
it's getting a casual mention and then you're moving on. And instead, I mean, let alone, I mean, you're from the Chicago perspective, 100%. But it's beyond that. I mean, our whole country's having a field day with just American popes.
Right. I don't think we're ever getting another one. I think this is the one that we get. And now they're looking at the reaction and they're like, yeah, whew, that was it.
Oh, boy.
That was a choice. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So can you, I want to get to the Cubs. I want to get to rivalries. And there's so much stuff we can talk about with you. But Cespedes Barbecue, was it a desire to be invited to the Cespedes family barbecue? Is it aspirational in nature? What is the etymology of this?
Mm. It's a great question. So it was definitely not ever intended to be something to be explained on Chicago radio a decade after we accidentally created something that was not intended to be.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so Jake Mintz and I, we wanted to make baseball stuff together when we were in high school. We were graduating high school. Back in 2012, I guess, was really when this started. And we were like, oh, who's a player that we just love right now? And it was Yoenis Cespedes, who you can see on my Zoom video. He's got this nice, lovely photograph of him behind me. But when he came over from Cuba, he had made a 30-minute highlight reel that he sent to all the teams.
It's the best. I've discussed it many times. It's amazing. Yeah. I believe there's some Yacht Rock. There's some Christopher Cross as the soundtrack.
There's so much. We got like some Star Wars motifs. We got some slow-mo, shirtless workouts, whatever. It's just a lot more interesting than any other workout video you've ever seen. And then, of course, at the end, he is roasting an entire pig on a spit with his family. And we were like, oh, well, that's hilarious. That's great. I love that so much. But again, it was like, this was an inside joke. We did not, there was no plan. This was not like, all right, this will launch our career in baseball media.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as for being invited to any future or past ones, like this hasn't happened. We have at least had some preliminary exploration into somehow how this could happen, but it has not happened yet. And again, Mr. Cespedes is kind of a mystery man at this point. Now, obviously, he has not played baseball in a few years, but he is also in charge of the Chandler Bats Company. I don't know if you're familiar. If you ever see a big leaguer swinging Chandler, he owns that company now. He bought it. He used to swing it, and now he is like the main kind of owner behind it. So that's his business side venture right now. But in terms of like public appearances and or family barbecues, I can't speak to the schedule.
Okay. I needed to ask for the relevance as well, because the White Sox were the proud organization that had Yoelki Cespedes, had his half-brother Yoelki, who we thought was going to be like the next step in the White Sox-Cuban connection, which has been a remarkably great feather in the cap of the White Sox organization. But Yoelki was not that, and last I knew it was playing for the Long Island Ducks, but that was last season.
That's not usually, unless you're Rich Hill, not an awesome sign for your future Major League employment. I know he reached AAA. That was one where it almost felt too good to be true, right? It was like, oh my gosh, we have like another kind of, not generation, but like another level where it's like, are we going to get another 10 years of you know, Cespedes in the outfield? And he just chased a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. The plate discipline kind of undid him. He did have some impressive raw tools, but we ultimately, as hopeful as we were that Joelki could kind of become something, we were kind of had a feeling that it probably wasn't going to happen.
So I'm of the belief, having lived, I grew up in Jersey, college in Boston, a couple years in L.A., but I've been in Chicago, you know, for 33 years and doing baseball and other media in Chicago for three decades now. I think there's no baseball town like Chicago, this unique two-team town with two very different ballpark experiences, two very different franchises, both with long histories. And I think that this rivalry for Rivalry Week is the best. Where did it rank when you guys did a draft, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, we did. And I believe it was one of my first picks. I'm sure the fine folks in New York would have something to say about that, but I don't live in New York anymore. So I will stand up for the Midwest. I live closer to Chicago than I do to New York now as an Ohio resident. And so I will stand up for the Chicago rivalry here. And I will say, yes, it is a fun one. And I also think that, you know, while the you can understand that from a very basic standpoint, it's like, well, wouldn't it be better if both teams were good? Wouldn't that be a little bit more compelling? As the Mets and Yankees certainly have that going for them right now. But I also think that when you have a time like this, and I know that we've had versions of this in the other direction where the Cubs have not been as good. The West, we've seen it both ways. I kind of think that creates some funny moments as well. Now, right now, I know the Cubs are kind of taking it to them, but the White Sox understand the situation that they're in. The White Sox fans understand the situation that they're in. And so if they can go get a win today, if they can get a win, no matter how many losses they end up with, if you can beat the Cubs on any day in a season like this, you're going to be feeling good.
I did the topic earlier today with callers and texters, like, what's the right way to act? Should you taunt as a Cub fan? And people said, well, sure, that's fine. And then how do you react as a Sox fan? Do you go with the stoic approach and just take it? And several respondents said, oh, hell no, you give it back because it will flip. It will flip again. And the Cubs have lots of ignominy, I think. And of course, their own history. But what they do have right now is this kind of undeniable burgeoning superstar in Pete Crow Armstrong. And we're forever these days looking for new ways to contextualize. What do you see as you watch PCA from a national perspective?
Man, you know, I wrote a feature about PCA in spring, having, you know, got to talk to him in Mesa. And Pete's someone that Jake and I have been lucky enough to know for a few years now, just as he's kind of come up through the minors. And he is certainly a one of a kind personality. But, you know, when I talked to him and understood that, like, there could be a star turn coming, I did not see this, right? Like, I think this level of impact, especially from a power standpoint, is astonishing. I think what he proved last year from a speed and defense standpoint, I mean, that's what people have been saying about him since he was 15. So seeing that kind of actualize at the major league level is so satisfying and cool and fun because, again, like, that's what scouts have kind of been saying about Pete for a long time. Even with the hot stretch he had in the second half last year where it was like, all right, like, he could be a good hitter. I mean, 12 homers before the end of May. We might be at 13, 14, 15. Like, we'll see. Like, this is outrageous. And when you combine that with the other skills, we are talking about one of the best players in the league. And I think you have to acknowledge, too, that there are parts of his profile that will probably start to get a little bit more exposed than they have been so far. And I think in some cases, ironically, this is something you can also credit to the guy he was traded for in Javier Baez, where it's like, how are you getting away with this, right? Like, how can you keep swinging and everything and continue to make a difference? In some ways, Baez is doing the same thing now, but and finding some success with Detroit. But what Pete's been able to do to be this productive while swinging this often and never walking is awesome. And I, you know, at some point, maybe the pitchers will figure out, like, ooh, we should probably stop throwing him these pitches because he can do less with these. But that's the other great thing about PCA is, you know, the floor is the best defender in the league and someone who's going to make a difference on the bases. And so even if he does go through a slump where he strikes out a bunch and doesn't hit any home runs, he's still a good player. And that's exciting in and of itself.
I love that the Baez connection is back in focus now with Javi's resurgence. What a wonderful, wonderful story. Was reading about his hip surgery, which I don't think I gave enough thought to, because Baez is so
athletic and so bendy, we watched him up close here, that of course now it makes sense that his body's feeling better after he reluctantly had hip surgery. Now he can reach for some of that junk he's never going to stop swinging at.
Well, you mentioned it in an offensive context, but you also apply that and say, okay, so maybe his hip was really bad and that really did not help him. That certainly, I'm sure, contributed to some of his poor performance the last couple of years. And then you say, okay, great. Well, guess what? Javier Baez is healthy now. Great. Awesome. Maybe he can become a, this is what my thinking coming into the year. There's a spot for him on this roster as some sort of roving utility guy. He hits against lefties. He plays some defense in the infield. Maybe we see him at second. Maybe we see him at third. Like, obviously Javier Baez can handle any infield position. He was still a good shortstop even when he wasn't hitting. And instead they're like, not only is my hip better, not only is his hip better, he's just going to go become an awesome center fielder. It's a position he's never played in his life, and solve a center field hole that we suddenly have in Detroit because Parker Meadows has been dealing with some injuries. Like, that seemed to be a position they didn't have to worry about at the end of last year. The Meadows injury is unfortunate, but it opens this window for Baez to become way more relevant than I think any of us thought he would be this season.
He wanted to play center sometimes when he was here. And he asked, I remember one of us asked Joe Maddon, are you going to let Javi play center? And Joe said, no, he belongs on the dirt. He belongs on the dirt.
He was too good. He was too good at shortstop. Like, if Baez wasn't so good at shortstop, they would have been like, okay, fine, we can try you at a different position, buddy. You know, the curse of defensive greatness there. You was like, no, why would we waste your time in the outfield?
Jordan Schusterman, the co-host of the Baseball BarbieCast with Jake Mintz, and the man who runs the Cespedes Family BBQ account on Twitter, writer for Yahoo Sports, joining us here on Hit and Run. All right, so we just got the breaking news that Jose Alvarado has been suspended for 80 games and will be ineligible for the postseason. I think the Phillies were already looking for bullpen help, as will the Cubs be, as will everybody else. I wonder if we're going to see the market get jumped now by somebody.
Yeah, and you know, we're still at the point in the season where, okay, who's really going to... I mean, we know teams like the White Sox, teams like the Marlins, teams... Man, the Rockies... the Rockies are a tough one, by the way. And the reason I bring them up is not just to be like, wow, they're so bad.
Yeah.
And hey, they won last night, so shout out to Colorado. They have some nasty relievers that I bet if they operated like a normal organization, they could trade for some real pieces. Like, Colorado's got some bullpen arms that I bet they could trade. Do I count on them to do that? No, I don't. So I bring that up to say, it's a good question. How soon do you start seeing this trade market heat up? And Philadelphia, I mean, it's not just the fact they lose Alvarado. It's the fact that they haven't gotten what they expected out of guys like Kirkering, who's really kind of taken a step back. And obviously Romano, who's an actual addition, was a disaster for this first month. He has looked really good over the last couple weeks, and he does have a track record in this league of being a good reliever. I mean, he's still kind of not one that you're feeling super awesome about, but at the same time, I mean, Alvarado before this year has also had his bouts of wildness. And so Strom is still solid, but they're still, you know, not having Hoffman makes a big difference there. And obviously Romano was going to be a part of that, but Alvarado looked as good as ever this year. And now here we are. So it is troubling. And if anything, you would know that, like, Dave Dombrowski is not just going to sit there. He'll do something. If he feels like he needs something, he's going to go get it. What that actually looks like, do they restructure their pitching staff accordingly, right? Do you see a situation where top prospect Andrew Painter comes up and becomes part of the rotation, and we move one of their starters into the bullpen, whether that's a Ranger Suarez or something like that? I don't know. There's a lot of options there, but I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia is aggressive sooner rather than later.
Is it me, or are there more like street free agents who still might want to play out there? Like, David Robertson comes to mind in this conversation, yeah. But we have Anthony Rizzo and Jose Abreu are both on a couch together, presumably, this weekend.
Yeah, that is a tough one, and they certainly came up in the discourse when Tristan Casas got injured in Boston.
Yeah,
and if they were like, okay, no, we refuse to, you know, Devers doesn't want to play first, and we don't want to move to first, and all these things, or maybe we do want to move to first, but he doesn't want to move to first, and it was like, okay, can you find some sort of stopgap who has at least played first base recently? I don't know. I mean, Abreu is a different thing, but Rizzo is one I'm torn on, because on one hand, it's like, he was starting for a team that was in the World Series last year. How bad could he be? And then the reality is, all due respect to Anthony Rizzo and his incredible career, He was really bad. He was really not a good player last season and really not a good hitter. So, I mean, you could still say he was good enough. And by the way, hilariously, you could apply the same thing to Alex Verdugo, who was starting for the Yankees and then nobody wanted him. So that's another piece of evidence where it's like, okay, how good is these guys really, even though they were starting for this World Series team? Obviously, I would love to see Anthony Rizzo continue to play, and it sounds like he wants to, so maybe he will find a landing spot, but it is strange. It is strange. I know Spencer Turnbull finally got picked up by Toronto. I have no clue what the David Robertson situation is. Like, that one is beyond bizarre, and I also understand that he is his own agent.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how much that has to do with it.
I can tell you this. I was told by somebody who knows he wants $14 to $15 million, or else he's not going to play. And teams don't want to do that these days for a one-year reliever.
No, he was good last year, but I don't think anyone really wants to pay any reliever that much, let alone one who's 40 years old. So I can understand.
Jordan Schusterman, for our last thing here, thanks so much for the time. I've wanted to talk to you for a long time. Give me a team that's bringing you a lot of joy. Somebody we haven't mentioned, a team we haven't mentioned that's bringing you a lot of joy in your baseball universe.
Man, that's a great question. The Tigers are a good time, man. The Tigers, they are really something. I got to cover them in the postseason last year. So I'm based near Cleveland, and I mean, Cleveland obviously is a very fun team to watch, and they of course ended up winning that series. But getting to be around Detroit last year, I mean, I was sold. Like, I didn't think they were going to win the World Series last year or even beat Cleveland, and they didn't. But being around them, being around Hinch, being like understanding the degree to which everyone's kind of buying into what they have going on, and Jason Benetti, that doesn't hurt. you want me to tune in and listen to Jason Benetti call a baseball game? Yeah, I'll do that. So that helps as well. But I was like, listen, there are parts of this roster I still don't totally believe in, but I believe in the operation. And that is why I was like, yes, this is the team. Between them and certainly compared to Kansas City, another team that was also had the surprise postseason run, I was way more bullish on Detroit. That has thus far proven to be right. Now, did I think they would run away with this division? No, and maybe they still won't, but they really have been a treat to watch so far this year.
Thanks so much, Jordan. This was a pleasure, man. We'll do it again sometime.
Looking forward to it. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. It's Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Barbecue and the Baseball Barbiecast with Jake Mintz. It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. When we come back, the saga of Kyle Schwarber, who continues to mash and better than ever before. And we'll talk to George Hoffman in about 20 minutes, the first ever host of Hit and Run. Lots to get to before we get out of here at 1240. For Cubs pregame as well, you will hear from Bob Costas a little bit later on. And today's starting pitcher, Colin Ray. Keep it here on Hit and Run on The Score.
Boost. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Stewart. Here's a drive toward right center. That's trouble. That's going to be in the gap. One hop off the wall. Two runs will score on a double by Kyle Schwarber, and it's 9-2 Phillies.
That highlight courtesy of us right here on the score. Ooh, I like this. What is this? Is Men at Work?
Men at Work, yeah.
It is Men at Work.
This is Overkill.
Oh, man. Colin Hay is the dude. Really good solo career long after Men at Work. Speaks here with you, Sean Sears, producing and spinning tunes. More on Kyle Schwarber in a moment. We should report, though, that Bob Nightingale has mentioned in his Sunday Notes column that the Cubs have identified Ryan McMahon of the Colorado Rockies as a target for their possible third base needs. Couple things that are interesting about that. One is that Jed Hoyer told us a couple weeks ago that Matt Shaw's return remained the hope and the plan. It was striking that he put those two words that close together. That's the hope and the plan. Has that hope and plan changed? Or are the Cubs merely doing due diligence? Ryan McMahon is a name that we have brought up several times over the course of the season as Matt Shaw was struggling and certainly in the offseason as well. One more thing on the Cubs third base thing as well, by the way. I was with a friend the other day, my guy Milt. Milt, who has the greatest basement of Cubs memorabilia you have ever seen. It's unbelievable. But Milt, I was with him on Friday at Cubs Sox, and he reminded me that he had suggested to me in the offseason, you know, would the Cubs ever take a flyer on Javi Baez for third base? Like, the Tigers probably would just give that contract to you. You know, wouldn't have to give up much to get it. And I'm like, nah. Javi's toast. Javi is not toast. Good on him for the resurgence. Really, really cool and fun story. So props to you, Milt. I was a no. It happens. And now, back to Kyle Schwarber, who drives me crazy because of the non-tender decision that led to his exit from the Cubs. It can make you nuts. And then you look at, oh, his production and what he's been. And it's just, but it's more than that. It's him as a person. For anybody who doesn't know, I was once next to a Cubs executive at a party a month after Kyle Schwarber was drafted, number 4 overall from Indiana, and he was mashing in single A ball. And I asked this Cubs executive who had a beverage in his hand, I said, "What's up with Schwarber? That guy can hit, huh?" And he told me, "He's Babe effing Ruth." And I was like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, we think he's Babe effing Ruth." I was like, "Really? That's quite something." And I told that story all around the score, hallways, you know, couldn't get enough of it, didn't go to the air with it. And then Dan Bernstein went to the air with it, and I never stopped giving him crap for that. But then I followed, because why not? And so it became the stuff of legend for a while there. Oh, he's Babe effing Ruth. I used to tweet it every time he would homer and stuff. And like, and it turns out that a scout named Stan Zielinski is the one who fell in love with Schwarber and basically stood on the table in the draft room and said, "We need to get this guy. He's Babe effing Ruth." And so, you know, and that swept its way through the organization. Stan has since passed, and it's, I think the Cubs named a scouting award after Stan Zielinski.
I think it's the Standout Scout Award, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Because, you know, And Schwarber has that presence and has that ridiculous power swing, but he also has a vibe as a human that teams have loved and adored everywhere he has been. I will never forget when he signed the free agent contract in Philly. It was Joe Girardi and Kyle Schwarber and Dave Dombrowski. And Kyle was just sitting there as Girardi and Dombrowski just lavished him with praise. What kind of person he is, what kind of player, what kind of teammate. It's all of that. So the Cubs nailed it. They found a guy who was going to develop and have a long career. And the career is even better than maybe they suspected. And I hate whatever reasons led them to non-tender him after 2020. Whether it was the biblical losses, whether it was the perception of the biblical losses, whether it was a lack of belief that he could find a position because the DH still wasn't there in the National League. You know, whatever it was, Kyle's the one that hurts. Rizzo doesn't hurt. Baez doesn't hurt. You know, Bryant doesn't. Kyle's the one that hurts, okay? And then I read this from Matt Gelb in The Athletic this week, and the title of it is How Kyle Schwarber's Changes Versus Lefty Pitchers Transformed His Game. And he heard a story from, he doesn't even remember it was, a left-handed hitter who had success against Randy Johnson. And the left-handed hitter had told a teammate how he was so good against Randy Johnson. The lefty hitter said, quote, "You have to be prepared to die," unquote. And something about that clicked in Schwarber's head. And he started wearing the C-flap helmet to protect his face against lefties. And then he added more padding to his right hand and his left wrist only when he faced lefties. So he felt a little bit more physically protected. And he was not supposed to start against Chris Sale, but he talked his way into the lineup against Chris Sale at the beginning of 2024. And he homered against him on the second pitch he saw from Chris Sale. And since the beginning of last year, no lefty hitter in baseball has taken more plate appearances against left-handed pitchers than Kyle Schwarber. He's getting used all the time because his manager thoroughly believes he deserved it. And as of that writing, it was up to 313. And among all the left-handed hitters who have at least 50 plate appearances against lefties, the only two lefty hitters with a better OPS against lefties who are lefty hitters are Yordan Alvarez of the Astros and Juan Soto. That's it. So Schwarber mashes lefties now. And you remember when there was something, you just wouldn't want to have him out there. That time is done. And his hitting coach, Kevin Long, who was his hitting coach in Washington when Schwarber turned his career around after they picked him up, after he was non-tendered, Kevin Long is, and Kyle Schwarber, they have a thing. And Schwarber says, the mind is a powerful thing. You tell yourself one thing, next thing you know, you're having success. But there are a lot of different things, too, that went into that. So there's all kinds of stuff that has gone into it. But how about that? Kyle Schwarber is that dude who has now figured out a way to destroy left-handed hitters. And teams still will make the bullpen switch to go after Schwarber, but now it's him and Harper, who both hit lefties well, and you've got problems now. So Schwarber worked with Long, and they worked on all sorts of stuff in terms of the pitching machine to recreate the weird arm angle of certain lefties, and Kevin Long puts the pitching machine really close to home plate to improve Kyle Schwarber's reaction time. So all of that, okay? And Kevin Long now says, I noticed a couple weeks ago he's hitting under 200 against righties. And I said, dude, you lost your feel for righties. You got to work just as hard on right-handed angles as you do lefties. So now Schwarber makes sure to do his work on righties too. My goodness. I love that dude, and I wish he had never left.
He's Babe effing Ruth.
That was the stuff. 670, The Score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. We are in year 20 of Hit and Run, which I believe makes it the longest running radio show in Chicago sports radio. Granted, it's been different hosts, but I've been here a while. First hosts were George Offman and Jesse Rogers. And one of them joins us next on 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
12:04, final half hour of Hit and Run. George Hoffman live in our studios downtown Chicago. Jesse Rogers live at U.S. Cellular Field, 312-644-6767. Jesse, got a number of people that want to talk to us about juiced balls, which, if you're a guy, could be a problem, but if you're a baseball player, could be something else. So why don't we go, Jesse, right to the Max on the south side. You're on Hit and Run. Good morning, Max, or good afternoon. Well,
good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm attending today's White Sox game, but I just want to add, if you guys are so worried about the juice baseballs, how come we don't just track down some of these people who caught some of the juice baseballs and cut these bad boys open?
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Oh, man, that clip from Hit and Run a long time ago. Yeah, just track them down. Cut those bad boys open. It's a lovely thing to get to be a guy who talks baseball and to get to be childish and laugh at absurdity at the same time. Before I did it, Barry Rosner did it right here, along with Matt Abatacola at times, Connor McKnight at times, Joe Ostrowski at times. And before that, it was George Hoffman and Jesse Rogers. And George Hoffman joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Go to CircaLasVegas.com. George, happy anniversary, 20 years. Thanks for starting this thing.
You're welcome. How are your juice balls?
They're still very well juiced. Thank you for asking. Thank God. So I don't see, I mean, look, if you're going to go there, how could that be a problem? Why would that be a problem to have juiced balls?
That wouldn't be a problem. Like, come to think of it, it wouldn't be a problem. But I think that tape is from 2006.
Wow.
It's really amazing. But the show started 20 years ago with Jesse and I, and it was an enormous amount of fun.
A cassette in a box in a closet somewhere. Where do we find that?
No, that was a CD.
Wow.
Two CDs, and they skipped so much. I don't even have a CD player. I had to borrow it from a neighbor, for crying out loud. And it just, you know, I wanted to get other segments, but that was about the best I could do. But, you know, it's, listen, when we did this show in 2005, I did a baseball show in 2004. And then Mitch came in and I said, look, Mitch, I'd like to have Jesse join me on the show to do the show. He said, absolutely. And so we sat down and tried to come up with a name, and I immediately said Hit and Run. It just made a lot of sense. It was very baseball. And we did that, and we did four. We tried to make the show really entertaining. We had four different segments, two of which I actually can remember.
Tell me.
One of them was called Batter Up. And this is Jesse's idea, I'm pretty sure, in which we would interview one of the baseball players during the week and ask him five questions on the sport of the day, whatever it was. And then what we would do is we would get a caller, you know, sixth, seventh caller, call in and see if you can match or beat the answers given by our baseball guest. And if they win, they'd get a prize. And it was a lot of fun. You know, some of the players couldn't answer any of the questions. We also did one segment at the end of the show called Last Raps. It was a 90-second commentary. So we tried to make the show a little more fun and entertaining. And I think there's some of the same callers. I heard Ron from the South Side.
Yep.
Excuse me. He was on the show. Stan from Bellwood.
Yep.
I mean, it's just amazing how this show has continued for 20 years. And you're celebrating, right, a sixth anniversary doing the show.
I didn't realize. Yeah, I guess it is six years. But I also did it before that. When I came back to the Score in 2009, and I was the in the Danny Mac show. Or maybe I was the show in the Danny Mac show. I couldn't figure that out, George. Mitch said, oh, that's right, you're a baseball guy. I need somebody to host Hit and Run. Would you be interested? And so I did. So I did it in 2009 or maybe 2010. Maybe you were still doing it in 2009, if memory serves. I can't remember.
It was until, very early in March. Then we kind of went with Mike North's ill-fated Webbio. That's how we left the show.
Ah, yes. Okay. So then, so I took over that. So he was scrambling for a host. So I took over then and did it for several years, sometimes with David Schuster, sometimes with Zach Zaidman, sometimes with whoever, and then eventually Rosner. And then I quit the show, which Rosner never forgave me for, famously, because I was tired of working 6 days a week. And then at some point, I came back because I missed it. So and now I'm back because I love it. So yeah, that's the whole history of the thing. But yeah, I mean, I love being a part of it, and I do my own little fun segments. But I got to tell you, Batter Up sounds pretty good. As does Last Raps. So maybe George. Sorry about that. Maybe George.
That's okay. He hosts another baseball show, doesn't he?
Correct. That's fine. This is the world. Bruce Levine hosts Inside the Clubhouse, and before that, on another station, he hosts Talkin' Baseball, a song that I sang last night at the G-Man, as we did a whole bunch of stuff. So, like, it's a tiny little universe of baseball media, and we've all kind of worked together, or side by side, or in opposition at different times, haven't you? You've worked with all these people that I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, and I think Hit and Run might be the longest title show in sports radio these days. 20 years of the same titled show. Listen, it was great. I mean, Barry did it for 10 years. It's a very different kind of show. You did it. And you can tell when I listen to the show, the love of the game that you have. I mean, it's like, it's exciting. And back then when I was doing it, it wasn't a segment, but I would try to do something called Voices of the Game, which is what you're doing now, in that the best guess you can get was a baseball announcer or an analyst, because guess what? They talk for a living and they know the game. I mean, you had Steve Stone on today. Who's better than Steve Stone to talk about baseball? Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed doing that part of the show.
Yeah, no, as do I. And when we get a chance to talk to players and coaches, it's the best. But I also just love the callers. I love the look, this is a very unique baseball town, as I've talked about a lot. From your perspective, George, and you had some years there where the White Sox were really good, and you had the Kenny Williams years where they were constantly trying to be good. And then you add, you know, the birth of the Lou Piniella years, or the Dusty Baker. I mean, you had some really interesting baseball times in this two-team town. What was it like to do the show?
Well, it was great in 2005 because we actually did the show. I did the show on remote when the White Sox were in the playoffs. We did a show, primetime, matter of fact. We did several shows primetime And one of them was from Boston. So for me, that was from 9 to 1 in the morning. I think we did a show from Kansas City. I mean, it was interesting. Kenny Williams, you know, what they did is they just slapped things together. They threw it against the wall. And in 2005, it worked. Because in 2004, he stunned everybody, including yours truly, by hiring Ozzie Guillen as the manager when pretty much Cito Gaston had that job, pretty much signed, sealed, and almost delivered. But when Ozzie, quote, knocked him over, Kenny Williams hired him, and it turned out to be a terrific hire and 8 incredible years. The White Sox were front page news, not back page news, because of the feud that Ozzie had with Jay Mariotti. It was fabulous stuff. Lou Piniella was a piece of work. I mean, what an interesting guy he was, because you didn't know what he was saying from one moment to the next. You know, and then there was Jim Hendry, who was kind of the underrated general manager in town because he took the Cubs to 3 playoff series, albeit they didn't do very well. And I remember one thing that Jim said to me, which is kind of, Cubs fans might think about this today, about bullpens. Because, you know, the Cubs bullpen has been going through a lot of misery, but they've been doing a little better of late. He told me at a general manager's meeting, 4 words, bullpens are a crapshoot. And that's true to this day, too.
Wow. Wow, yeah, that's amazing. Because we think about it now that way, and it's more openly discussed that way. But Jim Hendry telling you that, yeah, those kind of things, when they'll give you a moment of truth, that can really leave a mark, can it, George?
Oh, absolutely. You always remember certain things. When I was a Cub reporter, I would interview Bill Veeck. And he said something that's so prophetic, it's unbelievable. He said back then that baseball owners are diametrically opposed to logic. It was fact then, and it's pretty much fact now.
Well, that's interesting. Really, so what did he mean that the owner, because you love the game and you want to make things, or because you want to keep your money? I wonder what perspective he's talking about.
I think he just thought that owners weren't thinking straight about the game because, you know, he had his own view about baseball and entertainment. And so he kind of railed against other owners who he just felt didn't understand the game the way it was meant to be, not just played, but presented to the public.
So, I mean, look, George Hoffman has referenced all these different people having spoken with Bill Veeck, my goodness, one of the most important men, obviously, in the history of this sports town and everything else. And a lot of it, I'm sure, is available in your book, George. Tell me a story I don't know. Tell us about Tell Me a Story I Don't Know.
Well, the book's been out for about a year and a half, and it was a podcast that I did after I was let go by WBBM. You know, I was one of the first COVID casualties back in, it's almost 5 years from July. And so I did a podcast. And it was interviews with top sports personalities that had connections to Chicago. And I had Mike Greenberg write the intro to the book, the foreword to the book. By the way, Greeny and I were both hired by The Score 5 days before we went on the air on December 28th of 1991, which happened to be my birthday. So I interviewed all these people. And then Triumph Books was very good about letting me write at least the first 50 interviews. We never made the second book, unfortunately, because we didn't sell enough books. However, we're getting close to the milestone of 1,000 books sold. And that's not a whole lot when you think about the parameters of books, but I'm very proud we're getting close to that milestone. You can get the book on Amazon Books. The price tag is cheap. It's like Mad Magazine. It's a wonderful, it's a wonderful Father's Day gift. So hey, if you're a son, you're a dad, what? Father's Day.
There you
just
go.
Look up. Tell me a story I don't know.
There you go. Can I fold the cover to make it look like a different cover, like Mad Magazine? I mean,
yeah. No. My picture's on the cover. That should be Mad Magazine. I have a reference to Alfred Newman.
There you go. The Johnny Fontaine has tweeted at me and you and asked a question. He said, "Who's behind the mound today?" So is that a malaprop that I don't remember, that someone was behind the mound? George, I don't remember that one.
No, I don't remember that either.
No, I don't remember that. My favorite, some people recognize your voice, George, and like, oh my God, that's the update guy. It's Shorty George from way back in the day. Of course, George, a massive part of the fabric of the score when I was there as an intern, here as an intern in the 90s, and the malaprops live on. My favorite, though, that I always remember and will never forget in a baseball sense. Can you guess, George, which one sticks with me?
Of course.
Which one is it?
Towering Line Drive?
No. I love that one, but I go deeper. I'm like a hipster.
Well, that's not a malapropism. Towering Line Drive wasn't a malapropism.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm sure I've got a few of them.
Yeah. I'm a hipster when it comes to George Hoffman sound bites. I like Wilson Alvarez. Is that one in there, Sean? See if Wilson Alvarez is in there. He's searching.
Oh, I vaguely remember this one.
Maybe it's not. But anyway, you were just reporting the pitching matchups, and you said Sox in Texas tonight.
Oh, no. Wilson Alvarez is on the pill instead of the hill.
Correct.
That's what it was.
Yeah, Sox in Texas tonight. Wilson Alvarez is on the pill.
Turns out it's possible that Wilson Alvarez and other people were on the pill, too. You know?
Yeah, you never know. You might have been on it. We found out today that Jose Alvarado was on the pill, the Phillies closer.
That really hurts the Phillies. I just think it's great that, you know, guys like yourself and Lawrence Holmes now have been there for, gosh, what, 27 years? It really says a lot about the radio station when you think about what Jesse Rogers has become, you know, with ESPN, and Judge Surratt, who's the voice of the Boston Bruins, and there's so many others.
Yes.
I'm really proud of all of you guys. You've really done a great job.
Well, George, you showed me a level of professionalism that I didn't realize I needed to learn. Seriously, genuinely, I so much respect for the way you did the job then, and so much respect for the career. So thanks for coming on, George.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Matt.
You got it. That's George Hoffman right there on 670 The Score. Jerry in South Bend has bought the book. One copy sold. There we go. All right. Cubs and White Sox coming up at 12:40 pregame right here on The Score. You're going to hear from today's starting pitcher, Colin Ray. You're also going to hear from Bob Costas over the course of the next 30 to 40 minutes on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.